The novelist Henry James once said, "The two most beautiful words in the English language are summer afternoon." For lots of us, the two most beautiful words are summer vacation, for which you pack the suntan lotion, the frisbee, and books. With ideas on which books would make good summer reads, here's NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg.
I know someone who reads his way through a different author every summer. I know someone else who only reads dead authors every summer. And I know some independent booksellers who, quite independent of one another, have mostly chosen first novelists for this summer. Laura Hansen at Bookin' It in Little Falls, Minnesota, tells why.
I find that along the way, when I look at my list of favorite books, they're often first novels. They seem to have a story that the authors wanted to tell for a long time. And after that, you get great books that are culturally constructed, but the first novels have a trueness to them, a passion to them.
Bookseller Laura Hansen picks a first novel by John Dalton as an example. Heaven Lake is the story of a Midwesterner who graduates college and goes off to be a missionary in Taiwan. He gets entangled with a local girl and has to leave town in shame. Laura Hansen likes Dalton's writing. Here's a sample. The protagonist is in an airplane.
Several minutes into their flight, after a loud and shuddering takeoff, fumes began pouring from the ceiling, spilling down the divider between cockpit and passenger cabin and tumbling along the aisle floor, as dreamlike as tendrils of dry ice vapor in a magic show.
From Heaven Lake by John Dalton, a summer reading suggestion from Laura Hansen at Bookin' It in Little Falls, Minnesota. Another first novel was picked by Rona Brinley at the Bookmark in Atlantic Beach, Florida. She likes Mrs. Kimball by Jennifer Haig, just out in paperback.
It's the story of three women who all married the same man at different times. One of my staff would say, it's just a shame they didn't talk, and it would have all gone better.
The guy is a con artist, figures out what each woman needs, and then gives it to her.
And the book just sucks you in immediately. If I can read just, it's one of those books where the first sentence gets you, you know. The man died alone in a baby blue Eldorado on Route A1A, waiting for the drawbridge to be lowered. He owned a dozen fine suits and three pairs of expensive running shoes. A neighbor said he'd risen at dawn each day to run on the beach. On the table next to his bed was a gold wedding band.
Mrs. Kimball by Jennifer Haig is a terrific book club book, Rona Brinley thinks. She says everybody has known somebody like one of the three women. Another Rona Brinley pick and another first novel, The Shadow of the Wind by Carlos Ruiz Zafón. Lucia Graves translated it from the Spanish. By the way, all of these books and more are listed at NPR.org. The Shadow of the Wind is set in Barcelona in 1945, and Rona Brinley says it's a novel for real book lovers.
There's an antiquarian bookseller who takes his son Daniel to the Cemetery of Forgotten Books, which I visualize as this labyrinth of millions of books, and everyone is allowed to take one book that they can keep forever.
The son falls in love with the book he picks and tries to find more of that author's work. He discovers someone is going around the world destroying all those books. Rona Brinley says The Shadow of the Wind is a terrific story and wonderfully written.
This is the boy talking about, since he's the son of a book dealer, he says, I was raised among books, making invisible friends in pages that seemed cast from dust and whose smell I carry on my hands to this day.
An excerpt from The Shadow of the Wind by Carlos Ruiz Zafón. And if it's all starting to sound like too many words for you, Lucia Silva at Portrait of a Bookstore in Studio City, California, suggests an unusual picture book from an editor of the online magazine Found. The book is called Found, The Best Lost, Tossed, and Forgotten Items from Around the World. Creator Davy Rothbart has put together a jumble of mostly handwritten stuff stumbled upon by chance in various places.
Photographically represented in their original form are love letters, hate letters, laundry lists, signs, misdirected emails, high school notes, all types of found things that have been discarded by their creators and rescued by people who found them in the gutters and the streets. It's very revealing and totally obsessive, very engrossing.
Well, because we're all so nosy, we want to read everybody else's stuff. But the other thing is, these must be very powerful artifacts, because if you throw them out, very often you do it in anger or disgust or...
Exactly. Many of them are crumpled up, and many of them are very, very passionate one way or the other. And so you wonder if they were thrown out by the person who wrote them or the person who got them. very voyeuristic, but totally thrilling. You kind of feel like you shouldn't keep reading it, but you can't stop.
Lucia Silva reads one of the found letters.
Dear sweetheart, Mildred, will you please tell me whether you love me or not? As you know, I am graduating this year. Our principal asked me to go away and study to be a priest. Mildred, I have always loved you and I always will. If you really love me, I will not go, because if I tell the principal yes, I cannot see you for 10 years. So please, Mildred, tell me yes or no. Tell me nothing but the truth. Your loving sweetheart. P.S. Don't forget, nothing but the truth.
Oh, my.
That's dated in Savannah, Georgia, April 1928. You wonder what Mildred told him.
Or whether he ever sent it
to
her.
Or whether he ever sent it.
Again, the book is called Found, the Best Lost, Tossed, and Forgotten Items from Around the World, put together by Davy Rothbart. Finally, for summer, a classic, Truman Capote's 1958 novel, Breakfast at Tiffany's. Lucia Silva says it's one of her all-time favorites, the perfect, classy beach read.
For people who have seen the movie and think that they've read the book, Capote's Holly Golightly takes a whole different emotional turn. She's sort of cast in just a little bit more shadow. There's a definite air of melancholy and wistfulness that's not as prominent in the movie. And combined with his dialogue and description, this is one of the most memorable books I think you will ever read.
Moon River, wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style someday.
Again, check out NPR.org for all the suggestions from our independent booksellers. Pages of pleasure for your summer afternoons. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.